It's been said that preaching the gospel is essentially a wager or a bet that our deepest desires will be realized. In today's gospel, God is betting that we can see beyond what is seen in order to see God. And what we see in today's gospel is how 5 loaves and 2 fish becomes enough to feed 5,000 people. When it comes to the miracle accounts in the Gospels, we are reminded that there are always 2 worlds being engaged by Jesus, the physical world and the spiritual world. In the physical world, the basic rule is what you see is what you get. So if 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 people, that's a miracle in the physical world. However, in the spiritual world, what you see is not what you get, but what you get is always more than what you see. That is a miracle in the spiritual world. Therefore, when 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 people, the miracle is not so much about physical abundance as it is about spiritual abundance. But that doesn't come to us easily, because the critical mind in each one of us always asks, if the purpose of today's story is really a spiritual lesson, then why tell a story about 5 loaves and 2 fish. We may ask ourselves, was the miracle in today's gospel about a multiplication of food? Or was it about a multiplication of the Spirit? Or was it both? Maybe the best answer may be yes to both questions. Scripture scholars tell us that this story is meant to reveal how the realities of the physical world can block our appreciation of the spiritual world. And a significant reality of the physical world is not having enough. Therefore, when the disciples are faced with the scarcity of food, there are 2 choices to be made. They either look at what they have as abundance, or they look at what they have as scarcity. But how they see it spiritually will determine what is possible physically. But all the disciples have are 5 loaves and 2 fish, perhaps enough for themselves, but not enough for all. But 5 plus 2 equals 7, which is a sacred number symbolizing that what is about to happen will be a sign in the spiritual world. And the spiritual lesson of today's story says that whenever our response to scarcity begins with what we have rather than what we have not, then we are living in the spirit of gratitude, where less is actually more. But the disciples' way of thinking is fixated on scarcity, and before anything else, what they have to offer is not enough. As such, the attitude of scarcity will always read reality as a glass half empty. Just as the premise of our entire economic system that is built upon the expectation of scarcity, having us believe that all our material needs will never be met. So conventional wisdom says that we, like the disciples, must go and buy what is needed from some outside source. But Jesus redirects the attention of the disciples to what they do have. And that makes all the difference. He tells them the crowds do not have to go away, and rather they should feed the people. However, the disciples have convinced themselves they do not have enough. Why? Because they are trapped in the illusion of need. Now that's a phrase that captures our culture. We are trapped in the illusion of need. But for Jesus, a critical shift has already occurred. Jesus did something that day that moved people from a preoccupation with scarcity to an abundance. But somehow the crowd discovered what they had, where they no longer needed to look outside themselves for the answer, but rather they looked within. This is the first step in learning about spiritual resources. Going and buying may work well in the physical world, but what works in the spiritual world is to be still and to become aware of the gifts you already have. Knowing what you have is the first step of spiritual transformation. So how does Jesus do this in today's gospel? Well, first, Jesus asks the disciples to bring him what they have. Then he does something that takes his disciples completely by surprise. He takes the little that they have and then gives thanks to the Father for it. And so by giving thanks for what they have, they move from seeing what they have as too little and cursing it, to seeing what they have as a gift from God and blessing it. And then in the third step, which is often the most difficult, is to take what was given to us as free gift and then give it away to others, who in turn give it away to others. That's what the disciples do in today's gospel. They receive the gift and then give it away. No one takes, no one holds. Everyone receives and everyone gives. The result is a participation in divine abundance, an experience that is completely satisfying because it is a process of wholeness and completion. This is the spiritual lesson that is hidden in plain sight, that each of us are but one instance of God's abundance in creation. Each one of us is a unique and unrepeatable manifestation of the abundance of God. We are living a life that wasn't ours from the beginning, which means from the day we were born, we never lacked anything. Everything is abundance. It should come as no surprise that the central theme in today's gospel is the central theme in our Eucharistic prayer, which is gratitude. In today's gospel, the Lord took bread, broke it, gave thanks for it, and gave it to his disciples, who then gave it to others. Take, break, give thanks, and give it to others. These are the gestures in which we recognize God. And it all begins and ends with gratitude. I close with the words of Thomas Merton, and may these words give us a grateful heart today. He writes, "To be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything he has given us, because he has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of God's love. Every moment of existence is a grace, because with it brings immense graces from him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted. It is never unresponsive, and it is constantly awakening to new wonder and the praise of the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good, not by fact, not by knowledge, but by the experience of it. And that is what makes all the difference.